Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 81 of HER, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. And today we're talking about her showering. Yeah, you got it. We're going to figure out, should I shower? Should I bathe? If I do so, what time of day? Oh my gosh, we're going to dive right into the details. But before we begin the episode, just know it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to smartypantsvitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate this podcast and review us because, gosh, I read these things. Love to hear from you. Want to hear from you. Okay, you got it. All right, it's time for her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life. It's all about her.
To shower or not to shower, and what time of day is the best, and should you be bathing instead, and I'm so confused, and I hear this all the time, and I got a million questions too. And our go-to dermatologist is Dr. Jessica Wu, who is a cosmetic dermatologist in Los Angeles, California, where she has practiced for 20 years. She's a graduate of Harvard Medical School, assistant clinical professor of dermatology at the USC School of Medicine, and oh my gosh, she is the author of Feed Your Face, Younger, Smoother Skin, and a Beautiful Body in 28 Delicious Days. Dr. Wu, welcome back to the HER Podcast.
Thanks, Pam. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm reading, you know, this great article on greatest.com, and it was really talking about the best time to shower. And this opened up an entire Pandora's box. It's like, oh, my gosh, should I shower? Should I bathe? If I'm going to shower, you know, hot water, tepid water, cold water, what do I do before, after? Am I destroying all my delicious little bacteria on my skin?
So many options, so little time to get clean.
I know, totally. So let's just start, you know, taking this apart. First of all, what's the difference between showering and bathing, really, in terms of, you know, your skin and skin health?
Well, it depends on the type of skin you have. What's important is the length of time that your skin is in contact with water, because our skin has, in addition to the dirt and the oil that we're trying to clean off of ourselves, it also has the good stuff on our skin. We have bacteria, healthy bacteria that help to keep the bad bacteria in check. We also have skin oils that help to keep our skin cells lubricated so our skin doesn't crack and dry out. And there's got to be a balance of taking off the bad and leaving the good stuff on. So the longer you're in contact with water, the more opportunity all of the your skin's natural oils and lubricating oils and good bacteria get rinsed off. So if your skin is tough and oily, naturally oily, and you rarely break out in rashes, then you can go ahead and take a long shower or a long bath. You'll probably be fine. But if your skin tends to be on the sensitive side, you say you have eczema or sensitive skin, you tend to break out in dry patches or rashes, then you probably want to limit the time you spend in the bath or shower to about 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And because of that amount of time, it's no fun to take a bath for 5 minutes, but with a shower you can get in and out quickly. So it's more about the length of time you spend in the shower rather than bath or shower.
You know, I hear people, you know, just, you know I'm one of them, busted. I just love to kind of stand there sometimes and have the water just pound on you. And, you know, now we have the showers with the multiple jets. And so that feels even better. It's quite European. And so, you know, it kind of invites you to stay there a heck of a lot longer than you probably should.
Yes,
but gosh, it feels so good,
I
Dr.
Know,
Wu.
It feels so good. But at least... also keep track of when you're showering, because if you're showering in the morning, staying in the shower too long can actually lull you into getting sleepy. So, and that's because when you spend a lot of time in a warm or hot shower and then you step out of the shower, your body temperature drops. And that's a signal to your brain to get ready to go to sleep. So when you step out of a warm shower into a cooler room, your body's wanting to go right back to bed. So if you are going to take a long, hot shower, best time to do that is at night. And that way, your brain will be ready to sleep and you'll be more likely to have a deeper sleep. One way to try to discourage yourself from spending too long in the shower is to turn down the temperature a bit. So if you like to shower in the morning and you need that shower to get going in the morning, I recommend turning down the temperature a few degrees. So it's a hair above lukewarm, not ice cold, but just lukewarm so that you get in there, do your business, and get out, and that will invigorate you and get you going.
Well, you know, it's funny, you used the word hair. It reminded me also that if you want to really have shiny, beautiful hair, and if you're just, say, either washing it that morning or just simply doing a rinse, maybe you worked out or whatever, that when you do it with cooler water, you actually end up, and all the way down to cold if you want to, you end up with a much healthier hair because it closes the cuticle and it makes it much more shiny and healthy looking. So that's kind of cool, sort of a little bit of a double reward there. Now, speaking about working out, how about after the gym? Is it good or bad to shower multiple times a day? Because, you know, here we are, a woman, right? And what if we took a shower in the morning and then, you know, got all nasty and dirty, you know, about noon or 1 o'clock if we wanted to go work out or do something. What about even later on? Then we worked and we were running around like crazy people and we wanted to do something later on. Good grief, that's 3 times a day.
I know, that's a lot of water, a lot of time spent, a lot of bath products to go through. It is important to shower as soon as possible after working out, whether you work out in the gym or especially if you work out outdoors, and especially in warmer months. And that's because when it's warmer outside or we're exercising vigorously, we sweat. And there are a number of conditions that can happen if you don't wash off the sweat. People can sometimes get breakouts. There's a condition called miliaria, which is caused by sweat getting trapped in the sweat glands, and it forms little tiny red bumps that can be itchy and typically happens on your chest and your back. It's also known by the name prickly heat. So that is much more common in the summer, and you can help avoid that from happening by showering as soon as you get indoors or as soon as you stop exercising. Sometimes people get breakouts, can get acne breakouts, not just on your face, but also on your neck and chest. You can get breakouts on your shoulders. Some of my female patients get breakouts under a sports bra where there's friction, and also on the butt, the dreaded butt knee condition. So those are areas to pay particular attention to when you're showering after the gym. Make sure that you are exfoliating and cleansing those areas where there's friction, where clothing is coming in contact with sweat and where you sweat the most. And if you work out outside, there's some recent studies showing the amount of damage that pollution can do to your skin. We think about the sun and the UV rays from the sun breaking down our collagen and causing premature aging, but in fact, studies show that pollution can also damage collagen and cause premature aging. And that's because of particles that are found in pollution. For example, car exhaust, if you like to run outside or if you spend a lot of time walking through city streets, car pollution, car exhaust particles and industrial pollution can fall on your skin, harming your cells and your DNA. So really important to shower after working out and also after being outside, especially if you're in a city environment, you got to get that pollution off of you.
Ooh, gross.
You don't want to bring it back home.
You know, most people were concentrating about, you know, in the gym and all the little cooties running around the gym, especially when you're lying down on those workout benches and on the floor, on the mats and all the rest of it. But, you know, it's kind of sad. I'm wiping tears away, my little environmental climate, you know, tears, that we have all this pollution out there too. Yuck. But now you were talking about what to shower with. So, you know, everyone out there in her podcast land has their little, you know, pen and paper in hand, and they're ready to hear. So what should you do? You mentioned earlier some exfoliants, but what else? Moisturizing ingredients? I mean, what should we do?
Well, just like different people do better with the different skincare routines on their face, your body is no different. Each one of us has different skin conditions on our bodies that we need to pay attention to. So, for example, if your skin is on the dry or more sensitive side, then look for a moisturizing body wash. And so this would be a liquid body wash that you squeeze out of the bottle. It would be best to avoid deodorant bar soaps, those bar soaps that really lather and leave you squeaky clean. That's not so good if you have dry or sensitive skin. Find use on those types of bar soaps on your armpits or your feet, but on the rest of your skin, it might be too much, especially if you have eczema, rashes, psoriasis, or otherwise have sensitive skin. So look for ingredients in your body wash like coconut oil or shea butter or jojoba oil. These are natural oils that help to replenish the skin's lipids or oils that are washed off in the shower or bath. And if you have dry or sensitive skin, look for a creamy moisturizing body wash. Now, on the other hand, if you tend to have breakouts, if your skin is more on the oily side, if you have sweat rashes, heat rashes, or breakouts on your chest or upper back, look for a shower gel, which is more, it's translucent or transparent, and it rinses off more cleanly. So it's better at breaking up the oil and removing the oil and helping your skin stay unclogged. But I usually tell my patients to avoid bar soaps. Bar soaps tend to be a little too strong for most people. And if you have sensitive skin, or if you just, a lot of my patients just want to avoid sulfates. Sulfates is a big buzzword in skincare and body care. Sulfates are compounds that help to break up oil and dirt. That's why they've been used for decades in skincare and body care products. But they can be harmful to our environment. And they can also strip your skin of its natural oils. So if you have sensitive skin or you just want to avoid sulfates, make sure to read the label of your body wash. Make sure it's sulfate-free. Unfortunately, sulfates are also what give bar soap its foamy lather. The more sulfates there are, the more foam, and a lot of people like foam. But I explained to my patients, a lot of foam doesn't necessarily mean that it's cleaning you, and sometimes it can be overly cleaning you. So you may want to think about skipping the sulfates.
Oh my gosh, that whole issue of squeaky clean. You know, for years it's been the gig. You know, it's like, oh, I want my skin to be squeaky clean. Not.
now we figured out what... Because you're removing, you mentioned microbiomes in the beginning, because you're removing the your skin's natural oils and also the healthy bacteria that are helping our body defend itself from the bad bacteria, all the staph that's in our environment. There's a lot of staph. I'm seeing more and more patients with staph in my office, staph bacteria or staphylococcus bacteria. Used to be very rare 20 years ago when I first started my office. I would see maybe one patient a year, two patients a year with staph, and now every other week there's someone with a staph infection. And we think it's because the bacteria are becoming more resistant. Maybe more people are using antibacterial soaps and taking antibiotics. And also, we are on our devices a lot. We go to the gas station or we We touch an elevator button or the ATM. These things never get cleaned. And then we pick up our phone and we hold the phone up to our faces. And there you go. We get self-inoculated or self-infected with the bacteria. So all the more reason to be careful what you shower with and keep all those surfaces clean, especially when you go back home.
As a quick sidebar, you mentioned this antibacterial issue. What is your feeling about antibacterial hand soaps and antibacterial, you know, these little gels that everyone's using now to clean, you know, themselves after they've been sitting in an airplane seat or, you know, whatever the issue is? What is your feeling about using them at all versus just a regular soap?
Well, in a pinch, using those gels or wipes, and I carry wipes with me when I fly, in a pinch is better than nothing. However, studies have shown that washing with plain soap and water removes more bacteria than an alcohol-containing hand gel, an antiseptic or antibacterial gel. So if you really want to be effective and you're serious about removing germs from your hands, then just wash your hands.
Okay, that's exactly what I do.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I do. Yeah, I just get, you know, as you mentioned before, this whole issue of antibacterial everything and bacterial resistance really is a great concern in my mind. And I'd rather just keep it very simple. Just, you know, run over to the bathroom and just wash those hands the way you're supposed to wash them. And when you do wash them effectively, how do you wash them effectively, Dr. Wu? How long do you wash?
Make sure wet your hands first. Squeeze the soap into a good generous amount into your hands, and rub them back and forth. Get a good lather, and an easy mnemonic that a lot of people use is they'll say, well, just under your breath or in your head, just sing "Happy Birthday," and by the time you finish singing "Happy Birthday," the "Happy Birthday" song, you'll be ready to rinse and then pat dry. And if you're like me,
I love that.
Well, that's just, you know, it's an easy mnemonic. It's happy, and everyone knows it. So, so don't skimp on the time you spend washing your hands. And if you're like me and you, I wash my hands before every patient, so it's numerous times throughout the day. And if you also wash your hands a lot, carry a travel tube of hand cream with you. I carry a travel tube of shea butter hand cream because otherwise your hands will get chapped and cracked, and those little cracks can also be an entry point for bacteria.
Yeah, no question about it. And speaking of cracks and skin, when we were talking about what you should shower with, you also mentioned exfoliation, and I'd like you to kind of take us through how to exfoliate.
Well, many of us exfoliate our faces to help get rid of dead skin and help to unclog pores, or your body is no different. And in warmer months, or if you live in a warmer climate, many of us are exposing our arms, our legs, our feet. Maybe we're wearing sandals instead of closed-toe shoes. And so those areas are exposed, and when they're exposed to the elements, they're more likely to build up dead skin cells and rough patches. And not only that, but because other people are viewing our arms and legs and feet, it's nice to make sure any rough, cracked patches are taken care of. So one thing I like to do and I keep in my my shower is an exfoliating bath washcloth. And this is very popular. My family's from Taiwan, from Asia. And so all over Asia, instead of using a loofah or a regular washcloth, they use these what's called exfoliating bath washcloths, and they're like the size of a dish towel, so they're larger than a usual face washcloth, and they have a finer texture. They're not quite as nubby as a regular washcloth. And they're large enough that you can use it to clean your back and exfoliate your back. So what you do is get yourself, if you're in the shower, get yourself damp all over, and you squeeze some cleanser into this bath washcloth, and you use it to buff your skin all over your body. You want to be careful in certain areas like inner thighs or your neck where the skin is thinner and more delicate, but you can rub pretty vigorously on your arms, your legs, your elbows, your knees, your heels, anywhere where there is dead skin buildup. It helps to get rid of the rough spots. And as we get older, and as I like to say, as we grow up, our skin doesn't turn over as quickly, and so dead skin builds up, and that leads to rough patches that can then crack. So you want to avoid those cracks and chapped areas by keeping your skin exfoliated. And one condition that a lot of my patients have, it's been estimated that 50% of the population has something called keratosis pilaris. It's those bumps. Some of my patients call it chicken skin, those bumps on your upper arms, sometimes on your upper thighs you can get them. And it looks like pimples, but it's not pimples. They're actually little clogged hair follicles. And so these exfoliating bath washcloths are wonderful to help keep those areas softer. And then after
you
get...
Is there a brand that you like?
There is no particular brand, but I have seen them at... I've seen them online. You can get them on Amazon. I have seen them at Target. I've seen them at some drugstores as well.
Which one do you like?
I get mine from a little Japanese store. It doesn't have an English name because it's all in Japanese. So I get it from an Asian store.
I knew you were
going to
tell me something like that. There was some secret haven out there in L.A. where you were going to get your stash of exfoliating.
I have seen them at Target, though. They do have it at Target.
Cool. So at least we have a place to begin to look for them, because I think it's a fabulous idea. And I like the fact that it's kind of around the size of a bath towel, so you can really, you know, hit a lot of skin at one time. And I think it's really important for women to remember to exfoliate. I think a lot of us sort of blow this off, and we shouldn't, because this is a real integral piece. And then after we finish our shower or bath, what should we do?
So when you step out of the shower or bath, pat your skin dry, because rubbing it could irritate your freshly exfoliated skin. And then put on a body lotion, or if you have very dry skin, you can even use a body oil, and put it on immediately afterwards, because even after you pat dry, your skin will still hold some moisture. You know how if you try, I don't know if you've ever tried to get into skinny jeans right after you get out of the shower, you think, oh, I pat myself down, I'm dry. You're not really dry because your skin still has some moisture, so it's a little hard to get into snug-fitting pants. So that's because your skin still is, the outer layer of skin is still hydrated, and that's the perfect time to moisturize. So look for ingredients like I mentioned before, your coconut oil, your shea butter. In fact, some people will keep a tub of food-grade coconut oil right there in the shower, even before they get out of the shower, they'll put it on. And if you do that, just be careful if you're going to be using oil, because your feet will be slippery and you don't want to slip and fall in the bathroom.
Love that.
The other thing to do, this is my tip of the day, and this is something that that people don't often talk about. When you get out of the shower, especially if you've taken a warm or hot shower, you're a little steamy, your skin is still a little warm. That's the worst time to put on antiperspirant. And that's because if you've just gotten out of a warm shower, you may be sweating a little bit on your underarms. And if you put antiperspirant on right away, a lot of that will be washed away by your sweat. So the best time is to put antiperspirant on at night, the night before. And you can supplement with adding more in the morning, but it's more effective if you use it at night. And if you have to put it on in the morning, take a blow dryer and set it to cool and blow your underarms dry. Make sure they're absolutely dry before putting on antiperspirant. Otherwise, again, your sweat will just wash away the antiperspirant and you'll wonder why it didn't work.
Oh my gosh. I mean, who knew, right? This is why we go to you, Dr. Jessica Wu, the author of Feed Your Face, Younger, Smoother Skin and a Beautiful Body in 28 Delicious Days. And Dr. Wu's website is Dr. Jessica Wu, and that's WU.com. And she also has fantastic products. Please look at all of this, because this has all been devised and created by an expert and a cosmetic dermatologist who's practiced for over 20 years. Honey, she gets it. And she has wonderful, wonderful high-quality products and let alone expertise to share with all of us on the Her podcast. And we've been talking about to shower or not to shower and how to do it. Dr. Wu, thank you so much for being on the Her podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks, Pam.
Excellent. And everyone out there, remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please just take a moment and run on over to iTunes and rate and review us, because I read these. Love them, love them. All right. Well, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.